College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Can I give a late shovel?
Sure.
I'm going to give a late shovel to my friend Shakina. We call her Shaky. And she sent me a video.
Nice.
Well, happy birthday. I think it's today. And then she sent back, never mind. How do you get May 22nd out of May 6th?
I was going to say, isn't your birthday 22nd?
If it was the 26th, I get it. There's a 6 in it. If it was the 16th, I get it. Yeah, even if you line up the day. But how do you... Come on, Shaky.
Shaky, I'm sorry. You just tried to be the first person to wish him happy birthday, and this cat can't even accept it. So
yeah, it's like buying me a... I don't know.
A
cheap bourbon. Yeah, a bullet. Come on. I mean, how did you get... When I said I wanted a bourbon, how did you get a bullet out of that? I mean, give me a break.
What kind of video was it?
Anyway, Kim McCusick joins us. From filmstudybaltimore.com. What's up, Ken?
Life's good, Rob. How about you?
Life is good if your name is not Justin Tucker.
Yeah. Life sucks, then you die.
Now, oh my gosh. You know, a lot of people are criticizing the Ravens for saying this is a football decision. And like I said, Ken, it is a football decision, a football business decision.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And I think I'm not really bothered by the language of the thing. I have heard like the complaints about it. I respect anybody who wants to have their own opinion on this. But being through literally hundreds of such emails in a work environment, any 15-year employee who's fired for any reason, you want to do them justice within the text of what they're sending you off with. So I appreciate they did it for Justin. The Ravens, the time to criticize for the Ravens for what they said is when the NFL completes their investigation and then the Ravens don't respond in any way. They either stonewall up or whatever it might be. I think they'll have things to say at that time if there's anything to be said. And on the field, I mean, I think it's been 3 years of decline out of Tucker. I think there is an element of this that is just a simple football skills component that they really needed a new kicker about now. And Tyler Loop looked pretty good in camp. He's got a very big leg, kicks the ball very high, kick after kick, and put one on the roof that didn't come down of the indoor facility on Saturday. And he does have a slight tilt to his ball, but honestly, looks like he has the kind of leg you'd want.
This is the Arizona State guy, right?
Yeah, I think Arizona State.
Arizona, sure. I'm sorry, Arizona guy. Yeah. I don't know about college kickers. I don't pretend to, but I heard great things about him. Yeah. I'm sorry, Ed, go ahead.
No, that's fine. I just want to talk a little bit about minicamp. And some of the things that have happened. For people that don't, when you go to camp and you're present, you see and hear things that are very funny and kind of unexpected sometimes. Could you talk a little bit about George Wahop?
Yeah, well, George Wahop, I don't know if you've seen the video, but he's extraordinarily vocal about trying to get Carson Vinson drafted at the beginning of round 5. So I think they were actually may have been ready to draft him on their last pick around 4. Then they had that weird trade where they traded back for 5 spots and then up 5 spots in the 6th round. Anyway, George apparently wanted Carson Vinson, and it's immediately apparent how much he is invested in that relationship to start with. He's right on top of his reps, and he's on top of everybody's reps, but he's got advice for Vinson after every single block that he makes. You know, what's your aiming point? You got to get your hands out front when he keeps his hands a little close. You know, advice when he sets up high and whatnot. So Vinson, he's a proportional player, I'll say right now, but he's not a guy who's going to step on the field in 2025. He won't. Basically, he probably shouldn't leave the weight room anytime in 2025 based on his current bench rep number. So there's a lot of functional strength gain. And I think, by the way, a guy never got an NIL deal from a Power 5 school despite playing 5 years at Alabama A&M. The reason for that is probably because of functional strength. That the guys probably sniffed around and they said, maybe not quite yet.
Thoughts on Mike Green?
Look terrific, fast, off the line of scrimmage. And that's all they were asking people to do. It's a rehearsal, this first thing. That's what Harbaugh was saying. And basically, you know, they don't want people playing competitively. They want you to get to the line of scrimmage quickly and get off the snap quickly. So he looked terrific from what we could see.
Here with our big guy, Ken McCusick, filmstudybaltimore.com. Mike Green, the guy that you and I talked about, wanted, thought he'd fall off the Ravens board. So the guy that I was, my backup was the guy that actually drafted. Starks, your thoughts on him?
Yeah, so here's the exciting, well, what I consider to be the most important thing about Starks. He played basically a free safety role in this first practice. Doesn't necessarily mean anything, but but he's playing a deep center field. That's where he really needs to help the Ravens, is he needs to be the guy who frees up Hamilton to move up to the front. They can play Ardarius Washington if they want to play three safeties and have Ardarius play the other back end of a split field. If they want to have Ardarius play the slot, they can do that as well. But Starks is the key to getting that to do. I asked him one question about how he processes, and he did a remarkable job. It's very easy to see how the Ravens fell in love with him during the interview process, because he'll tell you how he processes an individual play. It's very much a back-to-front look. I need to know where my other defensive backs are. Then I look for my linebackers. Then I look at the offense and what they're trying to do in terms of to us with the formation they've got. I thought it was extremely well explained how he went through that.
If Starks has been playing at free safety, is this where we assume we're going to have him? But he's got other talents, and are they going to go with three safeties often now that they have him? What do you think is going
to
happen here?
I think they might need a five to make four rotations. I'd like to, in an ideal world, they'd have five safeties active on game day with the possibility of playing one at slot, one at dime, where I think they're probably going to need a safety to play, and then two on the back end. But in order to do that and make sure you have the personnel to get through a game, you really need to have a fifth active. You can't have four to make four has been fraught with peril these last few years for the Ravens. They've seemed to lose a safety in game whenever it's least opportune to do so, including, I remember Hamilton got ejected from the one game for a helmet-to-helmet hit, and they've had other things happen with injuries and whatnot. So I'm looking for a five to make four. I think they still need another back-end free safety. And yeah, I think Starks will play on the back end. I don't think it makes sense to try and tap into his versatility, make him play one position well, and the position of greatest need.
What about a replacement for Michael Pierce? Where do you find that?
So they have two guys at camp. They have Nash Hutmaker, who there was some question about. He's not even on the roster. So the guy gets no respect at all. It's a great story, great chip on the shoulder starting point for him. But Harbaugh thought he was signed. And somebody asked him at the podium, what about Nash Hutmaker? And he pulled out a laminated card out of his pocket. I would have killed to see that, what was on that card. But it's probably just names and numbers and who's a UDFA and who's a undrafted. But the roster they give you at minicamp is just the undrafted signees. All the tryout players, and there's 30 of them and maybe 36 guys who are UDFAs or guys who are coming back for a first year after only playing on the practice squad. All of those guys have numbers that the other ones don't. So you're even with the scorecard, you cannot tell the players, is what I say.
There you go. Ken, thanks a lot, man. Tell folks all about Film Study Baltimore.
Sure. FilmStudyBaltimore.com is the website. I'm at Film Study Ravens on Twitter. We have a detailed report on rookie Manning Camp that's out there. It's a little longer. And AFC North draft reviews this week.
Trust me, when you start going to Film Study Baltimore, it will become a daily place to go. Thanks a lot, Ken.
Thanks, Rob.
See you next week, man. 410-583-1057 is the number. Mike Elias at 9 o'clock. World is Stupid at 8:30, but on the other side, Washington, D.C. gets the 2027 NFL Draft. What does that mean for Baltimore? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. World is Stupid with Jeremy Kahn at 8:30, but right now, D.C. is going to get the 2027 Draft. I think it's going to be a hit because of the proximity of so many people. The D.C. is one of those things that's going to draw not only the people in D.C., Washington, it's going to draw Marylanders. It's going to draw people from Virginia. It may even call some people from northern part of Carolina to come on up as well. I think it's going to draw a lot of people. Maybe the highest attended one of them all.
You know who won't be there?
Who?
Me. I ain't going down there.
You going down there?
No, not with all that. I mean, there's just, if you've ever been to an NFL draft, there's so much going on. And I only went to the one in New York. But like they had it there every year, so they were ready for everything. I think sometimes these areas aren't ready for how many people actually show up.
They're estimating over a million people, Joe told me.
Yeah.
Ed, your thoughts on this. Would you go if it's in – I've been there twice with Vinny in New York. Would you go to D.C.?
No. I have no interest whatsoever.
Did you go to any in New York when you were there, Ed?
No.
Okay.
Well, Joe, you and I get together. I drive. You buy the food?
I'm down, man. Let's do it.
You down? Because I'm going.
If I drive there, I'm taking a flight from Dulles back to BWI next to my house.
I'm absolutely going. And you know what? I think the fact that it's in D.C. hurts Baltimore.
Really?
I don't think they circled back here for a while now.
I think you're right. That once I heard that, I said, well, that's that.
Yeah.
Because then why would they do that? If you're 40 miles apart.
They get the rest of the nation considers us D.C. Baltimore or Baltimore, D.C.
What's the airport name?
BWI.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think they circle back probably within the next 5 to 10 years, maybe?
I'd say five at least.
Yeah.
Yep.
You don't think so, Jeremy? You don't think it hurts Baltimore?
I mean, I never thought about it, honestly. You know, I'm not as concerned over the NFL draft as I am the All-Star game coming back here because I that doesn't make
any
sense to me.
That's a different story.
Yeah.
I would definitely go to an All-Star game.
Yeah, I think we all would. Yeah. Like, I don't even like – I hate the Home Run Derby, and I would love to go see that in attendance. Like, I despise it. I just wouldn't have to listen to Chris Berman if I was actually there. And I just think it's cool to see all these people kind of, you know, watching the kids get smoked in the outfield by 110-mile-an-hour balls off the bat. What the hell do you have six-year-olds out there for anyway?
Yeah.
But no, like, that's something that's more important to me. I'd never really thought about the draft here. Do you think it could work here?
I think it can.
Ed, what about you?
I think it can, but, I mean, I just think we got to be realistic. Have you looked at our city?
Yeah.
Like, seriously, I've been here 25 years. When I moved here, there were problems. It was violent, but you had a bustling downtown. You had the Light and Pratt Street Pavilions were full. You had Brooks Brothers and high-end stores and all kinds of restaurants and stuff. It's a ghost town down there now. Little Italy's closing up. The Inner Harbor's a disaster. Like, I don't think it's a good idea until you get the city back.
That's the
they may come, but I don't think it's a great idea.
That's good for the state of the city and where we need to go moving forward. Mm. But you know, when you have a Billy Joel concert down there, nobody knows that. When you have a Paul McCartney concert down, no one knows that. People come in because it's a great venue. We have great venues downtown.
There's great venues downtown, but people come to a Billy Joel concert. They make the train down from New York or whatever it is. Spend the night. If they're coming for the draft. They're coming from California. They're coming from Green Bay. They're going to get a hotel for a couple of days.
Right.
It's a different thing. It's a different stay.
What makes it different when you're not from here? You don't know that the city is a ghost town.
You're not
there
now. You're going to wake up in the morning and say, what are we doing today? Well, let's take a walk downtown. You go downtown. You got 75 vacant stores.
I
just don't see it.
I think before they get an NFL draft here, they'll make sure there are things to do downtown. I think so. I think everything you said on the city, I'm not debating what you said on the city. It's not a good place to be, 100%.
I think
they can fake it for 3 days.
Okay, so if they had the draft, where would they hold it? Is this Inner Harbor, Raven Stadium? Like, is this?
I think the perfect place to hold it is at Raven Walk. Right there between both stadiums. That's the perfect place to hold it. That area holds a lot of people.
And you got a lot of parking around there, too.
Yes, it holds a lot of people. The Ravens Walk is the perfect place to hold it. Isn't it already a video
board out there? The DC draft is
outdoors,
right?
You said what?
The DC draft's going to be outdoors.
It'll be on the mall.
It'll be on the mall, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the – isn't there already a big screen out there at the Ravens Walk? Don't they have videos out there? Yeah. So
they put them out there for game day.
Right. You can put a stage out there, a temporary stage. I think that's the – if you do it here, that's the best place to do it. However, I think I think this is the NFL's way of saying, well, Baltimore, this is the closest you're going to get.
The Packers situation was like their whole draft was around the stadium.
Yeah.
So it was a focal point. They even had people in the stadium. So you can do that in those parking lots.
And you put that in between Camden Yards and M&T Bank Stadium, and those are two. I mean, I'm biased, but we all know we love Camden Yards. We don't speak enough about M&T Bank Stadium. I love M&T Bank Stadium.
Question, this is to Rob specifically. You were just in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of their downtown revitalization?
Yeah. That's nothing that I – dude, I'm like, what happened to Detroit? It is. What did they do? I mean, what was the business model? Who went in there and changed that?
Well, I don't know who did it, but they had the will to do it, and they did it.
They did it.
That's why
they did the hell out of it.
It's so similar to Baltimore.
Yeah,
outrageous crime levels, terrible poverty. Everyone threw them under the bus and gave up on them. They have a beautiful downtown.
It is beautiful. It is exquisite. They have million-dollar homes in the city.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Yeah,
looking around Detroit like, what? This is nothing like what I heard.
When I was in Nashville, not to compare the two, but like in Nashville is like the fastest-growing city in the U.S., at least one of them are number one, they had million-dollar condos in the ghetto. Like, and that's where the Airbnbs were. Because when we came in, we were staying in an area that they were like, hey, don't get out until your Uber car gets here. And then you just walk right to the Uber. That's, but the house we were staying in was amazing.
Yeah. Well, Detroit is different. It's like, I mean, you heard the people, the lifers in Detroit telling you how much the city has changed over the past 5 years. Hey, you're talking about 5 years, not 10. Like this one lady said, just when she was about to leave the city, she heard all of these promises. So she gave it another year. And by the end of that year, she changed her mind because they weren't quite there, but she felt the change. And she said the best thing she, the property, her value, her house value has almost doubled, she told me.
And this is the reason I bring it up, because if I were running, what, pick a league, the NFL, Major League Baseball, I don't know, I would do the same. I would tell us, Baltimore, it'd be the same conversation I have with a kid that I've given 15 chances to get his crap in one bag. He can't stop with the drugs. He has no money. He's always broke. He's always stealing. After a while, you stop giving, and you're like, I'll help you get your act together. And that's why I feel they're looking at us. Like if Detroit can turn itself around, which is a much bigger city than us, they got it together, and they had a lot of problems too. They have a lot of problems, and we have resources they don't have, like being, you know, on the Chesapeake Bay and things like that, in proximity to D.C. and New York and Philly. They did it. Why can't we do it? And until we do it, we're not going to be treated well. And that's that. So our leadership needs to get their ass in gear and do something radical. The world wasn't changed by reasonable men. Like, Jesus, makes me mad.
I was in Detroit 15 years ago, and there 2 weeks ago, it doesn't look like the same city. Let's go to Baltimore and get Joe. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. Love the show, as always. Just wanted to offer perspective as a – absolutely. Thank you very much. As a small business owner, and I, you know, shout out to my wife. She just got a community stewardship award from the mayor's office of small business, and it was by the mayor, and it was a celebration of small business month in Baltimore, and I think this whole week is small business month. So I completely hear where Ed's coming from. There's so much about the city that needs work and needs love. But I also just want to shout out, as a business owner in Seton Hill, who just moved from Pigtown on Main Street by the stadiums where we love looking out at the parks from the roof. We know the community, we know the people, and we know the hundreds to thousands of small business folk out there working really hard to be a part of that that revitalization, including what's going on in the Inner Harbor right now with a lot of small businesses, a lot of local small businesses getting put up there. And so I hear where you're coming from. I just want to offer some love and shout out to everybody there that is trying to work to make this city and turn it around, including violence intervention being, you know, for the first time, not in the top 25 most violent places in the country. You know, so like you said to that woman in Detroit, the change is there. We can kind of feel it, and everybody's going to keep pushing.
Hey, thanks a lot. Appreciate that, Joe.
And he's absolutely right, though. Like, when we don't factor in, or a lot of us don't think about how much these big events help out those small businesses. Now, they probably piss off the locals. It's like, man, I'm trying to get somewhere, and there's so much damn traffic.
Get over it.
It helps out. There's so many. That's why I thought the two stadiums doing the concerts were huge, and other things that just bring people down to the city.
By the way, those houses that he's talking about, you can sit on the roof and look out. I want one of those.
Yeah?
I want one. I ain't going to get it right now because I don't know if I want to live there. But ultimately, I want one of those. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Mike Elias is confirmed. He'll join us at 9 o'clock. How do we get two doses of Jeremy Kahn? How do we get Daily Line follow right after World of Stupid?
That was actually his idea.
Nobody want to hear Jeremy Kahn for two straight segments?
You get two of me.
Nobody wants to. Jeremy, take us to World of Stupid.
All right, we're going to talk about a couple different things. A 7-year-old boy loves McDonald's. His little sister, she loves McDonald's.
Old McDonald?
No, McDonald's. Like, they wanted the free chicken nuggets. Yeah, they wanted the free chicken nuggets, and then they had the app. But this kid took his mom's SUV to get his sister a Happy Meal.
He's waiting too long. He's waiting too long.
No, he didn't want five. 7 years old, he drove her. We're also going to talk about a man who lost $5,000 in cash and got contacted by the police to return it. And he's like, man, stop scamming me. Nobody wants to listen to these phone calls. So I'll tell you how that ended. And also, Chris Rock's brother Tony said Stephen A. Smith told him something about the draft that I thought was one of the dumbest things ever. I'll tell you what he said when we come back in the World of Stupid. All right. So, Ed, real quick, a question for you. Like, I always talk about on days where there's big events, the Super Bowl, whatever, the Masters, Oscars. Like, the places I go are just littered with stories about it. And, of course, today is the Met Gala and what everybody's wearing. Did you ever work that, see that? Like, it just, I don't get it.
What don't you get?
All of it.
Like, the dressing up?
What's it for?
It's the Metropolitan Museum of Art.
So are they just, are they raising money? Is it just like everybody?
Yeah, it's a fundraiser.
Okay.
Yeah,
I didn't know it was a fundraiser. But
I mean, that's one of the greatest museums in the world. I mean, it's fantastic.
I get that. I'm just saying I didn't know why everybody got dressed up and went. Like, I didn't know it was a fundraiser. Yeah. Anyway.
It's big money.
But that's
like,
all.
Like, I think, isn't the cheapest ticket like $5,000?
I don't know, but I know it's a huge fundraiser. It's all celebrity studded, and it's, you know, Joe just told me huge gala.
$31 million raised yesterday.
Yeah. How much?
$31 million.
Spike Lee was there. He didn't even go to the playoff game. Yeah, he went there.
That's what I was telling Rob earlier. Like, Spike Lee, who went to the games in Detroit, went to the Met Gala wearing a Knicks hat instead of going to the game in Boston.
But you can see Rihanna's, you know, Rihanna was there. You know, Diana, all these other people. It's black fashion. That's what's celebrating this year.
All right, let's get to this. A man who lost $5,000 in cash and got contacted by the police trying to return it, then refused to believe them, is a statement on how many BS calls we get as a society.
Yes, it is.
There's no question. You lost $5,000. It's the one thing you want to hear. And then all of a sudden somebody calls you and says they have it. And you go, your first reaction is like, yeah, but do you?
But
like, am I being catfished?
But who is this dude that doesn't know he lost $5,000?
Well, he knows he lost it. He just doesn't believe the person calling him has it.
That's dumb. If I know I lost $5,000 and somebody that I don't know calls me and say they have that money, then that's more likely for me to believe. If I don't know I lost $5,000, I'm probably not believing it.
Here you go. Michigan State police trooper attempts to return $5,000 in lost cash. Were very frustrating for him. The MSP said on social media that the trooper from Monroe Post found the cash in the middle of Monroe's Huber Road in Friday. It was just sitting there. The trooper contacted a nearby bank, which confirmed a customer just made a withdrawal for the exact amount. The trooper tried calling the guy.
That's good police.
Took the money.
Yeah.
That's great police work there.
But soon discovered there was a problem. The subject must have been listening to our public service announcements on being a victim of fraud and believed he was being scammed, and he kept hanging up on the trooper. So the person was eventually convinced that the calls were not a scam, and he claimed ownership of the lost money. You call me and tell me you got $5,000 that I'm missing. I'm showing up, even if you're lying.
This sounds to me like he was unaware initially that he lost his money, and somewhere along the line he saw, look, wait a minute, I did lose it. And that's when he believed it. I bet he didn't realize it at first.
It's just tough. I mean, you get dozens a day now. And they're getting better and better. Yeah. I don't know if you've seen the last PayPal scam.
Yeah.
But that one's really sophisticated because it comes from an actual PayPal site. They put these scam, and then, you know, the return, website is to the scam site. But you're getting an actual, you know, email from a PayPal. It's really bad what they're doing.
It's terrible, man, the way things have been going. For people being scammed and all the other things that are out there. Like, I keep getting called. I'm assuming it's a cousin. Scam likely. He keeps calling me. Like, I appreciate when the phone picks it up and you know it's trash and don't need to answer it. But as Ed's talking about, they have names now. They make up names. It's like, oh my God, Justin Thompson's calling me? Who's Justin Thompson? I don't, like, you know how your phone picks it up and it just has a name there?
Yeah.
It's BS, man. Well, let's talk about this. 7-year-old boy drove his little sister 9 miles in his mom's SUV to get McDonald's. He wanted a Happy Meal. What do you want to do?
Mom's taking too long. Mom's tripping.
Yeah, mom's
tell
tripping.
Tell me where after she gets off the phone.
Where's her keys? Let's go, baby. Hungry 7-year-old boy somehow drove his little sister to 9 miles to get McDonald's breakfast, with their shock mom saying he's probably grounded for the rest of his life. I wonder if he got a speeding ticket, one of those speeding camera tickets. That'd be so funny. You get that shot.
He just got a contract from Formula One. What are you talking about?
Just a little kid's eyes over the
man. That's
the
dashboard. I mean, listen. Let's take the positives out of this.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good big brother.
Yeah.
Hungry.
The white SUV finally came to a stop when it hit a parking strip, and responders found the 7-year-old driver and his 5-year-old sister unscathed. This happened in Ogden, Utah, on April 27th. But if you're going to go somewhere, go to McDonald's.
Go to McDonald's.
Yeah.
We ain't go to a party, Mom. We went to McDonald's.
The officials then realized that the pint-sized dude had made it 9 miles from their home in Clearfield with cash in hand to buy Happy Meals at McDonald's. I'm just more impressed that he knew where to drive, right?
I'm just impressed that he could reach the... Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it would have been funny if he called his mom and said, "You, I'm at McDonald's. You want something?"
Yeah. Mama, what you want? You're asked to get out of the car.
How often during the week do we do a story about adults that can't drive?
Yeah.
He has a 7-year-old.
This little guy, 7 years old, makes it to McDonald's.
Oh, did you see the video?
Unscathed.
Did you see the video the other day of the person that stopped right in the middle of the highway? I'm talking 2 lanes over from the exit, just stops and sits there. The car behind her slams on the brake. And then, or him, whoever it was, and then they all ram into each other, and the only car that doesn't get hit and gets unscathed is the one that stopped in the middle of the road and took the exit and drove off. I mean, just sitting on the highway for like 6-7 seconds trying to decide where you want to go. It's unbelievable.
Hey, here's the newest one. How about this? I didn't think people get more creative. I go to one of those car washes where you just get on the conveyor belt and it pulls you through and washes, you know, the automatic ones. A guy decides to stop, didn't know which way he wanted to turn. His vacuum's to the right, exits to the left. He gets through the car wash. He just stops. What do you think happens to the next car? It's coming down the conveyor belt. It's
unbelievable.
Wow.
Yeah. How stupid can you be?
Last thing here. Tony Rock, who is Chris Rock's brother, said after the draft, Stephen A. Smith texted his brother Chris Rock claiming that Shedeur Sanders wasn't drafted in the first round of the NFL draft because NFL head coaches feared that Deion Sanders would be hired to replace them if they failed to win the Super Bowl. There's only one issue with that. The GMs draft the players.
Yeah, that's that doesn't
make
sense.
The coach can have some influence and say, I'd like to get this guy, I don't want that guy. That makes zero sense. And if Stephen A. Smith told Chris Rock that, he doesn't know his ass from a hole in the ground. And then if the message got thrown over to Tony in the wrong way, and he's throwing it out there publicly, and it just, to me, it looks terrible. Like, to sit here and say a coach didn't want to draft the quarterback because they were worried the dad was going to come in and get his job. The coach isn't making that decision.
And especially, let's say the coach does have some influence not to get him in the first round. It's not so much influence he's going to fall to the fifth.
Yeah, and then you're going to say you don't want it just in case?
Yeah, no, I don't. No, no. Come on, man.
I just think it's dumb. That's your world of stupid. I retweeted some of these stories at JCon Sports if you want to check them out.
Mike Elias will join us at 9 o'clock. You don't want to miss that. But on the other side, we're going right back to this idiot, Jeremy Kahn.
Oh, it's me again? Oh, we'll go over what happened last night. I went 2-2 in my top 5 plays. The Red Sox game got washed out. Was it Red Sox?
Jeremy.
Yeah, one of those. It's all me. It's all me. And then we got Mike Elias coming up next hour, so you want to stay tuned for that. But I'll throw out the plays for today, a couple of weather spots that I think are really good, NBA, NHL, all that and more coming up right here on The Fan. That's courtesy of Marquee Sportsnet. That was my top play, and I missed. The Cubs game went over. It was weird because it was 0-0, then 2-0, two outs, and then there's another two-run homer, and you're going, oh, man, it's 2-2 early. And then the floodgates just kind of opened up after that. As there was a ton of runs scored. And just to kind of go over yesterday, as I said, I went 2-2-1 in my top plays. Nothing really to write home about. The ones I got right, I had the over in the Mariners-A's game. That went over. Had the Reds-Braves under. That went under. That was the weird play that we were talking about. It was 4-0. But technically, it probably should have been 2-0 as one of the Reds outfielders crashed into the wall.
Broke his arm.
Yeah, snapped his arm. And Matt Olson got the Little League home run as he laid there. And I'm still surprised. There were people going, should Matt Olson have stopped at second base? Or shut up.
Because that's fair.
Shut up. Should he have stopped? Now, I get it. If somebody's laying dead on the field or, like, you know, injured, you get what I'm saying. Like, they're out
Lamar cold. Hamlin.
Yeah, they're out cold on the field. I understand, like, people stopping. If he was, if it happened in the infield, I'm sure he stops at second base. Yeah. But it's in the outfield. You keep running. And the Braves, by the way, are trying to win some games here because they started off so damn slow. So hit that. And then the Guardians-Nats game got postponed. I had Arizona over the Mets, but the Mets came back and won that game last night. So 2-2 in my top plays. Let's look at today because there's a lot of interesting stuff today. In the NBA, I love Cleveland -9. Everybody's kind of writing them off because of the injuries they have right now. They're the better team than Indiana. I know Indiana's playing well and kind of surprised them in game one. When you get to these must-win situations, Cleveland cannot afford to go down 0-2 at home. You're going to see the best game they have out of what, like, if I were playing Daily Fantasy tonight, Donovan Mitchell 100% is my lineup, and then I'm thinking about putting Jared Allen or Evan Mobley in there if he plays. Mobley's a little nicked up, and I understand why people are going, well, if these guys are banged up and Darius Garland might not play, then that's why they're getting 9 points. Yeah, just Cleveland's been really effing good this year,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah,
and that little hiccup that they had, I think some things change and they make some adjustments. I also like Minnesota -6.5 tonight against the Warriors, it's going to be a top play for me. I'm not buying into this Warriors team, especially against Minnesota, who has way more firepower, and the fact they're going to be at home, and they've been through this last year. They're battle-tested, right? They made their run. The Mavericks knocked them out. Maybe it's their year to make that run. I still think it's the Oklahoma City Thunders, even though they lost last night, which I did not expect to happen. But Minnesota minus 6.5 will be a top play for me. I hate it, Caps fans, because I think this is the end of the road for the Caps in this series. I like Carolina overall. I like them tonight minus the 125.
You think Carolina knocks off the Caps?
Yep, I do.
It's game one tonight, right?
Yep. Yeah. They're favored on the road, which is like, it's a huge outlier to me to see the underdog favored on the road at Washington. Were they a bad matchup for them most of the year this year?
Carolina's just a better team, I think. Yeah. They have a real good shot at going to the Stanley Cup final. Personally, I think it's going to be, it's tough because Toronto's really good too. But that's what I'm looking at. I think Carolina's just a better team. I'm happy the Caps have gone this far and I hope they win, but the Hurricanes are good.
Yeah, by the way, Michael Eye is coming up next hour, but I wanted to bring up, did you watch Blues fans at the end of that game? Have you seen the highlight of Blues fans that recorded themselves?
No.
As they gave up that goal, this poor kid, he's like, all right, just a little bit of time. He's like, come on, guys, come on. No! You know, screaming and losing his mind. It was crazy. All right, well, let me get to this. Let me get to the weather then. Today, Braves under, Cubs under is the best spot, so do with that what you will, because it did not work out yesterday. And the pit under, that's a Paul Skeen start. So here's what I like in baseball. I like the Yankees today. It's a very good pitching matchup, at least in my opinion, although Clark Schmidt's numbers don't look great. It's Mike King going up against his former team, so I understand why everybody's jumping on the Padres. Give me the Yankees at home as a small favorite. Mm-hmm. Minus 110, I'll take it. Especially, and by the way, I brought it up earlier, the Yankees have blown more leads after the eighth inning than any other team in baseball. It just shows you how bad Devin Williams has been for the Yankees.
They probably have more leads after the eighth inning than any team in baseball.
And he's blown them all, it feels like. All right, and a couple other plays that I like today. I do like Atlanta and Cincy to go under 7.5. A top play for me is going to be Tampa Bay and Philly under 7.5. As you look at the pitching matchup there, Rasmussen versus Wheeler. I would lean Tampa Bay in that game, too. I just have a hunch that they're going to play well. I do like the Cubs and Giants under at 8. I like the Mets and Arizona over 9. I like Cleveland and Washington over 9 in game 1. That's, a 3 o'clock start. And I like the Angels tonight at even money as they face the Blue Jays. That's Tyler Anderson, one of their better pitchers, going up against the Jays. If they were going to steal one in this series, it's going to be that one. Again, just to recap my top plays, I like the Wolves minus 6.5. I like Cleveland minus 9. They're both going to be top plays for me, and I'm on the Mets-Arizona over, Cleveland-Washington over, and the Cubs-Giants under. I do like that Tampa Bay-Philly game, so I'm debating on whether or not that's going to officially be a top five play for me or Cleveland in the NBA. So there you go.
There you go, Jeremy Kahn. Thank you very much. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Michael Eyes joins us up next, Orioles GM, right here on The Fan.